here with us this morning. And let's have a prayer and we'll share from the word before we go this morning. So Father, thank you for our families and people that you've put in our lives. What a gift. And we thank you for this time, this season where we, and this day, this time right here this morning, where we can focus our hearts on the true essential meaning of this season, that you so loved the world that you gave your only Son to bring light and the gift of salvation to those that believe. And we pray, bless these few minutes together now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, this month we've been actually as a church looking at through the book of Luke, following the stories and focusing on certain characters surrounding the birth of Christ. And it's been such an enjoyable study. And we're going to, this is the capstone for that. Most of the Christmas story we're, of course, all familiar with. The characters that we studied, like Elizabeth and Zacharias and Joseph and Mary, of course, the shepherds. But these last two characters, perhaps, we are less familiar with. And this is at the end of Luke chapter 2. Luke in his gospel has shown that this baby born in the manger was the Son of God, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David, the Messiah, the Promised One, the Son of the Highest. And in the Old Testament it said that any testimony should have two or three witnesses to verify that. And we could say that these last two characters of the gospel Christmas story are the two witnesses that confirm all that Luke has said surrounding the birth. And let's jump in here in verse 21. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, do we have this or we don't have this? Oh, okay. All right, you just have to listen carefully, or there's Bibles in your pews if you want. So it'll be more tricky, but let's focus. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So according to the law, on the eighth day, the Jewish child will be circumcised. And this was according to the law. And we see that Joseph and Mary, 5 times it mentions in this passage that according to the law, they were committed to the law. She presented herself according to the law. It shows that they were true believers, not just religious Jews, but they had true heart and faith and worship towards the Lord. And in faith obedience, just as the angel has said, they named the child Jesus, which of course means the Lord is salvation. And that's right at the heart of the gospel, that salvation is a gift given through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, there it is again, according to the law, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. On the eighth day the child was circumcised, and it was considered under the law that any woman who gave birth to a child was ceremonially unclean for 40 days. And that's what it means here. When the time of her purification was over, then they came to the temple. Circumcision, and then also for her to her purification time, and to present the child to the Lord. Let's go to 24. And they came to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. There it is again. And that's echoing that to show that Joseph and Mary were honoring God from the heart. They were among those remnant believers. They were righteous. And whenever the Bible, which means to be right with God, whenever the Bible speaks about someone being righteous, it's not something that's achieved according to our own works, but it's you are made right with God by His grace, not by your works, but by His grace. And they offer a pair of turtle doves or pigeons, which indicates that they weren't so wealthy. This was one of the poorer sacrifices to be offered. And verse 25, and this introduces the first of the two witnesses. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout. Notice this, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was with him. This elderly man, Simeon, in the temple was waiting, it says, for the consolation of Israel. It means that in his life there was an expectation, an anticipation, that according to the prophets, the Messiah would come, the Savior would come, the Promised One would come. Again, not just a surface believer, not just a religious man, but someone who had a living faith and a living hope in the living God, according to all of the promises that went before. Every day in his heart, there was a hope that the Lord would come. And in fact, in verse 26, it says, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ." This is an incredible promise that was given to him. The Holy Spirit said to him, "Listen, you will not die until your eyes have seen the Messiah." And this was the day that it happened. Verse 27, "So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus," verse 28, "he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And in this moment, joy filled his heart because he realized he was looking down into the face of the Messiah, the one who was to fulfill all of the promises, hundreds and hundreds of prophecies. And he says in his heart, he says out loud, 'Lord, now your servant can depart in peace, for according to your word, my eyes have seen your salvation.'" Imagine. What did he mean, "my eyes have seen your salvation"? My eyes are looking at the one who brings salvation. My eyes are looking at the Savior. And of course, he was not Savior by virtue of his birth, but by virtue of his death. We could say he was born with that purpose of the cross, to bring salvation to any one of us here this morning as we put our faith in him, just as Simeon did this day. He says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." He said, "Okay, Lord, I can go to heaven now. That's it. You fulfilled your promise." And he says this, "A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." And Joseph and Mary, his mother, marveled at those things that were spoken of him, because Simeon clearly said, not only is this the Messiah for the Jews, but he is the Savior for every man, everyone who believes. Just to finish up as we go, Simeon blessed him. And then verse 36 brings in the last witness, and this is Anna. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from the beginning of her marriage. And this woman was a widow of 84 years. This is an old lady. And it says she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Again, a devoted believer, never left the temple. And she was also one of these waiting for the promise of the Messiah to come, of the Savior to come. And verse 38, "And coming in at that instant," God had put all this together. Just as Simeon is holding the child and says these amazing words about the Savior, Anna walks in. And she says, it says that she gave thanks to the Lord. And this is the closing phrase. "And she spoke of him to all those who looked for salvation in Jerusalem." After she'd seen the Savior, it says this. This is the words. It just ends with these words. "And she spoke of him to all who were looking and waiting for the Messiah." She went through the temple and through Jerusalem. Listen, you know the Messiah is here. You know the Savior is here. God has been faithful. He's answered. And I just want to close with this. That just like in Jerusalem, there were a remnant. There were some who were waiting, some who were believing, some who were searching. I believe that's just the same in Peacehaven this morning. That there are some who are waiting, some who are looking, some who sense that there is something missing in their life. They may not consciously know that they are looking for God or looking for Christ, but we know that they are. For only He can fill the void that is truly missing in someone's life. And oh, what an amazing mission and purpose and ministry we have as an evangelical church. God said to Paul on the missionary journey in Corinth, he says, "I have many people in this city. Maybe they don't know it yet, but they are destined to find Christ as their personal Savior. What a wonderful gospel it is that God so loved the world He gave His Son, and there are many in Peacehaven, perhaps elderly people behind closed doors, lonely this Christmas, perhaps young families or successful businessmen who seem to have everything, and yet there is something missing in their life. We have someone who visited in the church recently, and he said to me, "Listen, I've got a house, I've got a car, successful, I've got my qualifications, we're happy, but there is something missing." And he started drawing near, and God is ministering to him because he is seeking Him. And the Bible says, if you seek Him with your whole heart, you shall find Him. So let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the glorious gospel this morning. We think of the amazing reality that man is made to know You. And oh God, just the void that only You can fill. We think of the many who are empty and searching and seeking. Even this Christmas, which on one hand Christmas is such a time of joy, but for many it is a time of great sorrow, of loneliness, of depression. And we pray, looking ahead into this year, 2018, we pray that many would come to find You as their personal Savior in Peacehaven and beyond. And use us in that, in the endeavor of the great commission of taking the gospel to the lost. And we pray if anyone's here this morning, you're not sure of your personal salvation. Oh, He loves you. He died for you. There is no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. And what a day to be saved. What a day to find Christ as your Savior. Christmas Day. And just say quietly in your heart, "Oh Jesus, I put my trust in You this morning. And ask for Your forgiveness and the gift of Your salvation. And I thank You for that. For that is the greatest gift anyone could ever receive." In Jesus' name. Bless our rest of our day with our family, our friends, with the children. Give us great joy and thankfulness for Your great grace to be alive in this time, in this part of the world, with our freedoms. And bless our day and time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.